Hey, Dr. Andy here from the Intentional Living Center. We have one mission here to help you experience your life as God intended. Today, it's helping you experience your marriage, that relationship that you have or frankly don't have with your spouse. We want to help you experience that relationship the way God intended. We're live here in the studio. I'm Dr. Randy, along with Jennifer Gino and our senior producer, Stephen Davis, taking your calls. I'll open the phone lines in just a moment, and so we can continue this discussion as we're looking at how in the world is it possible in a time like this, when our country is totally divided on all the big things in the world today, that we can expect our families not to be divided as well. Our country is divided on the big things like abortion. We got a good percentage of the country say, hey, abort babies. That's okay if it's a woman's right to choose. And another large part that I'm included in that say, no, life is sacred. We got a big part of the country that say, hey, we should put restrictions on ownership of guns. And others say, not so much. Hey, a Second Amendment. We got political parties that are in opposition with each other. We got two groups that approach the national debt of $34 trillion in different ways, frankly. Some more conservative when it comes to getting out of debt. I would be in that camp, by the way. I think that's very intentional. Versus those who see it not as a big issue. We got the immigration issue and the southern border and different approaches. And what's happened is it seems like as a people, we grind to a giant halt in opposition with each other and we hurt each other. Okay? I mean, I think we can agree to that, can't we? Now, this is not a political show, and I'm not opening the line to talk about how can we make, you know, our country come together in unity. We need to, but it's hard. I want to focus on something much more personal to you and to me, and that's right there when the door closes, as you look into the eyes and the heart of your spouse. Is your home divided? You know, Abraham Lincoln, in a very famous speech called the Divided House Speech, to the Republican State Convention back in June of 1858, talked about a house divided against itself cannot stand. And most people think that was Abraham Lincoln's quote. He got it right from Scripture. This is from Jesus. Jesus said those almost exact words in Matthew 12:25, a house divided against itself cannot stand, as he was talking to the Pharisees. And so of course, Abraham Lincoln was talking about slavery, what was going on in our nation in the 1800s. And listen to what he said. I think this is really profound. And I'm going to open the phone lines, and I want you to come, and we're going to help you today think about getting our home in our family undivided, okay? Abraham Lincoln, talking about this in that speech in 1858, where a house divided against itself cannot stand, and he was talking about slavery. He said, in my opinion, quoting, in my opinion, it will not cease until a crisis shall have been reached and passed. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? It's a profound thought. Abraham Lincoln was wise enough to know that there are times when we have this division, we have to just sit down and take that crisis to say, and hopefully before God, God, there's a better way of doing this. And we want to honor you. And I know that's difficult in marriages sometimes. So I tell you what, we're opening the phone lines. Maybe you feel that way when you talk about being divided over things in your home, maybe on how to raise your kids. Spiritually, it always comes up. We're not on the same page because we have a compass built in that draws us toward Christ as a Christian. And if you don't have the same compass in the spouse being drawn in a different direction, it goes back to what the book of Amos says. How can two walk together unless they be in agreement? And so there's where those frustrations come. So what do you do? That's really what I want to help you do today, is think about what do you do if you have a home that's divided spiritually. And maybe some of you can help me, because I'm just one guy from my experience of working with a lot of people. You've been through this. What's something you've learned, something that's helped you when you've been in a divided home that's been really practical? All right? Need your help. 888-888-1717 is the number. Let's go to Alicia first in Michigan. Alicia, what's your question for me today?
Hi, this is Alicia. I'm listening to your program today about not being on the same page with marriage and walking together as husband and wife and being submissive to each other. And my question is a big thing that goes on in my marriage with my husband, who is also a Christian, is that we have disagreements, and I hate saying this because I don't want it to seem like I'm judging, but I know for a fact, because I'm married to him, that I am in the Word and seeking God more than he is, which breaks my heart, and I want that so bad for him. But when we come to a disagreement and I bring up a Bible verse or something that I learned as a Christian being biblical as why I think that, you know, the way I'm suggesting is correct, he comes back with something that is just completely different in a way that he says that he feels like the scripture is saying it this way, or most of the time it's, well, I think that God wants us to have the desires of our heart. And I try to explain to him that, you know, I feel like our desire to have God's heart is what's important. So our desires are the same as God's. And he doesn't agree with me with that. So when we make these decisions in our lives, whether it be financial or to do with our kids, and I think we're making a not biblical decision, I almost feel like me giving in to him is a sin.
Well, that's got to be painful for you, Alicia. You know, I think of that little formula we use here regularly, expectation minus reality equals disappointment. And I think in your case, it's your expectation that, man, we'd be on the same page. We can agree what the Bible says. We want to live as God intended. And then we make decisions about money, and I don't agree. We make decisions about kids, perhaps, and we don't agree. And that feels like sin to you. And I hear that. But you know what? You're one half of an equation in that marriage. And I would encourage two things, Alicia. I would say to you and to others who feel like that, like you're frustrated because you want your spouse, your husband or your wife, to be in agreement because you think you're right. Right? And maybe you are. Maybe you're not. I don't know. But I do know this, two things. One is you need to get on your face before God and beg God to make up the difference in the life of your children and your family. I mean, the Bible says that. That in prayer and supplication, it's almost to a daddy. Daddy, I need your help. I'm doing the best I can. I love this man. I love this marriage. I want the best. And I'm asking you to make up the difference when things are done that maybe I don't think would be what you want for this marriage. And then secondly, I think it's really important in a divided house to seek peace and unity with your spouse. Seek peace and unity. There's always an opportunity in the very best of marriages to find disunity. I got a great wife. We've been married a long time. She's not perfect, but married a long time. I'm not perfect. If I wanted to think about it all day long, I could probably nitpick my way into disunity. But I choose not to do it unless it's one of those days I'm really tired. And then it's easier, right? Or one of those days you've had too much stress. But seeking peace. You know, the Bible says that we are to seek unity to the extent that it lies within us, the possibility of seeking peace and unity, something we need to do. All right, Alicia, appreciate that. Thank you for your call. Love to have you join in today. Let me ask the question again. Some of you have been in a marriage, or maybe you're in the marriage now, and you're not on the same page with some things, but there's something you have done that's helped, frankly. Or maybe you've worked it through and you want to encourage someone else. Give us a call. Question, comment, we're in this together. 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
This thing of living intentionally is not about doing the last three chapters only of Ephesians. It's not just about loving your wife more and being a good person and submitting to one another. That gets to be hard work if we don't get the first three chapters of Ephesians straight. I can't do Ephesians 4 through 6 if I don't understand and embrace Ephesians 1 through 3. You know, that's an excerpt from the teaching this month on being before doing. It's our lesson for our intentional living community. And what's that? People who pray for us and support the ministry every month and are on the journey, not to perfection, but saying, hey, intentional living, I get it. And I'm helping other people get it, to come to Christ and then live intentionally in that walk with Him. Come and join us. We'll make sure you get signed up. We'll give you the code so you can get to all access to all of the lessons that we have up there. Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on the donate or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. Okay, and press number 2. Talk to the team there. All right, Rod, you're on with me from Michigan. How you doing today?
Hey, I'm great. How are you? Great weather here in Michigan, mid-70s and sunny.
Oh, I appreciate you bringing that up. It's going to be in the mid-hundreds here and sunny.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sure you are.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, what have you learned about this?
You just mentioned in your excerpt there from Ephesians, my wife and I will celebrate number 50 this upcoming year.
Congratulations.
And that would not have happened, I truly don't believe, 25, 30 years ago, had I not, paid attention to marriage. I'm going to lay it on the guys here because, you know, we have egos, and I was more interested in my ego. And what I meant by that was I was playing sports a lot and hanging out with people who were in sports and everything, and wasn't really keyed into the fact that she really didn't care anything about that. And I went to a marriage marriage seminar with her because she asked me to go. And I went and I read several books, and I'm not going to name the books or the authors. You have the whole list there. But when I was referred to Ephesians, and you are absolutely right, if you don't have Ephesians 1 through 3, forget 4 and 5. Mm-hmm. That makes any sense. Okay. And so I had to pay attention to what it says there. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Boy, that hit me like a ton of bricks. I was not giving myself to her as Christ did for us. And so I really had to study that. And one of the things that I found out was her interests were a lot different than mine. And so I started to key into some of her interests. And one of her interests was she wanted us to take ballroom dance lessons. So, okay, all right, I'll do that. So I did it, and I found out it was a great bonder for her and I. And 25 years later, we still do it. So I think for guys, if you're not paying attention to what your wife really wants, what her interests are, and likewise, wives.
That's right.
So that's just some encouragement from somebody who's been around the block, and I appreciate you. Been a long time listener. I'm on the road a lot, so hey, thanks.
I'm glad you're listening. Thank you, Rod. And it reminds me of the passage that that says, I think it's in Philippians, think not only of your own interests, but also the interests of others. And boy, you could bring that right home. That's the problem with the Bible, is it always comes home to us, right? I mean, the instructions are right there for us. And they're for our good and our benefit. That's why I have taught over the years, when we're obedient to saying, what is God's intention? And we apply those principles to how we live. God gets the glory if we choose to give him the glory for it. And secondly, we benefit from it. It's a stupid thing to ignore God's wisdom on things like, think not only of your own interest, but interest of others. Some of you today, come on now, you may be the one that's really struggling in the marriage, because you're giving your spouse fits, or not really saying, I want to get into what God's word says. You're resisting growing spiritually, and you're paying for it. We pay for it when we're divided in our marriages. It's a painful thing. And it'd be a lot smarter to sit down and even say, there's even a point. Let me just talk to those of you who are on the side of saying, I think my spouse is too biblical, too churchy, too interested in, can I encourage you to do a couple things? One is cut them some slack because that's really important to them. And the reason it's important to them is because it's transformed their life. And they're concerned about you. And so when they talk to you and they want to help you and do all these things, they're doing it out of the desire for you to come to Christ and follow Christ because they want the best for you. And you're thinking, yeah, but they're just a nag, right? And so you can either go to war over these things or to say, hey, we're going to have to be able to, at that point, to agree to disagree. And I love you, and I want to know more about why your faith is important to you. And I think that goes for those who are Christians. You're the Christian in the family and your spouse isn't, to really be interested in why that's not important to them. What's their life about? What drives them? And it doesn't mean you're not concerned, but boy, I'll tell you what, preaching at them ain't going to get them there. All right. We're going to get back to the calls here. We'd love to have you join in. What have you learned? Just like Rod said, hey, you know, I need to meet her needs, not only myself. Give us a call. What have you learned? 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717 is the number. Jane, looks like you have a bit of a success story here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I've listened for years. First time I've called, but this really touched me because I'm so proud that we're at the place we are and that we're getting ready to celebrate our 50th anniversary.
Congratulations.
It hasn't been easy from a faith standpoint. And as I was telling the gentleman on the phone, I learned a lesson. I was behaving not as God wanted a wife to behave, but I was acting superior, better than. I was not honoring my husband. And I was at a women's conference, and I was told to change my behavior and not worry so much about his. And that was the message I got. And boy, I felt God just really working in my heart. And so I had to change and realize that we were in this marriage and he was the father of our children and I needed to honor him.
Well, what are some things you changed specifically? What did you do?
I quit nagging.
Yeah.
I quit worrying about when we go to church as a family, I quit worrying about whether he was listening, not listening. There were certain things that I continued to do, and I always told him I would pray about things for our family, and he knew that, and he honored me back.
Yeah.
And we raised our children in the church. And
so he didn't fight you. It wasn't that he's fought you about faith. He just hasn't been at the same level or in the same page.
No, he didn't, but he, at times would... early on, kind of made fun and let it be known that he didn't believe like I did.
Mm-hmm.
And so at times it was challenging.
Yeah, and that stings.
Yeah.
How are you guys doing now after 50 years? How would you, give a status on your relationship spiritually now?
Well, I still pray for him. I think it's Stormy O'Mardian's book, Praying for Your Husband.
Power of a Praying Wife, I think it's called, yeah.
Yeah, Praying Wife, and I use that every single day, and it has really, those prayers have kept me going on knowing how to pray and what to pray.
Yeah.
I just think that book was so helpful.
Yeah, she's been very helpful.
Yeah, and I did get discouraged, and so there would be times like today, your program encouraged me. The things that you were mentioning to do are things that I think I've tried to do, and I have been the spiritual leader of our whole family. And I'm so gratified, though. I got an answer, kind of another praise from God, when we were asked to write a letter to our grandson who's getting ready for his first communion. And we had to write a letter, and my husband wrote a letter, and the things he said in the letter let me know that he valued my position in the family and how we've raised our family, and that he's proud of our grandson for putting his faith first and putting Jesus to work in his life.
Do you feel like you're spinning your wheels and not making any progress? In his message, Being Before Doing, Dr. Randy explores how to live an intentional life for Christ as we learn how to be before we do anything for God. With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content.
Let's be who Christ made us to be in order to do what Christ has asked us to do. And as we do that, that is what Intentional Living is all about.
So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, when you support the ministry here at Intentional Living, we're listener supported. You allow us to continue to do this every day, and I thank you for it. And we had some really cool things we're looking forward toward in our mission as we help people experience life as God intended, seeing lives change, people come to Christ, people standing up for their marriage, children being parented in a better environment under the authority of a family that's following Christ. And you're helping make all this possible, and I thank you. Again, just come and find out more at theintentionallife.com. Click on donate or go to the phone, 888-888-1717. Press number 2 to talk to our staff. By the way, that's the same phone number if you want to join in this discussion today. If you're not on the same page in your marriage, but you got through it, and now you are, how'd you get there? What one thing helped you? Because there's somebody desperately looking for a drink of cool water of hope today. And maybe you can offer it. 888-888-1717 is the number. 888-888-1717. Talking about getting on the same page in your marriage.
Hi, my name is Andrea, and I'm just listening to the program tonight about having a spouse that maybe we're just not on the same page spiritually, and kind of how I deal with it. I think I had to be intentional to make a decision to continue to grow with Christ and keep on with my walk, regardless of what my husband decided to do. I had to make an intentional choice that I wanted to do that, take that stand, as well as, you know, teach our children and grow our children in the Bible as well. Thank you for your ministry.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you, Andrea, for sharing that today. Nothing more important than getting a house divided to get it undivided. And sometimes it takes undivided attention, doesn't it? Come on, when it comes to doing that in our family. All right, Lori, you are next in Arizona. Appreciate your call. What's your question?
My husband and I have been married for 20 years. We are not on the same page spiritually, unfortunately. I have prayed for him, as you can imagine, many nights over the 20 years. One of the few verses of the Bible that I remember, and I'm not even sure I'm going to get it right, Ezekiel 36, about taking away his cold and stony heart and replacing it with one of flesh and obedience. So I pray that for him a lot. But my question is if we are not connecting spiritually, our communication is very poor. And when I do bring up spiritual stuff, he actually seems to pull away more. So we're not cleaving.
Let me ask you, just very candidly, if I were talking to your husband, would you think he would say to me, you know, I love my wife, but she's a little bit of a spiritual nag?
I don't know if he would call me a nag. I really try not to nag him about it. I've put myself in a place where I think somebody else needs to come in and try to guide him, because I know as wives we can get that way. I don't think he would say that much. I think he does believe that he'll never be where I'm at. I don't know if he says that because he knows himself that he's not going to pursue it anymore.
Well, listen, Lori, I guess I would remind all couples who are facing this, because I hear your heart wanting your husband to respond spiritually. And that's a theme we hear a lot of times, often women for their husbands, frankly. I mean, that's just a reality. But it's possible that we can make our marriages too competitive. Competitive marriages are damaging. When we seek to marry someone, it's not to compete for who's going to be most spiritual. And let's face it, in most marriages, we're at different stages on different health-wise and maturity and spiritual. I mean, we're different. And when we make it a competitive marriage is stressful and painful, and there's never a winner. And so turning inward, looking at ourselves, and I would encourage you, Lori, to really pray for your heart, for an attitude. And I know that's hard sometimes when you're right in the middle of it. Lord, give me your attitude and an approach to your husband and how you're going to deal with that relationship with your husband, which really brings us back to this whole point today. There's really one thing. There's two points I want to make as we wrap up the show today. And by the way, if we have callers, we'll continue to record. You're welcome to join in. 888-888-1717 as we go off the air. There's two points I want to make. One is we're not the Holy Spirit for our spouse. Come on. Just, you know, let's just get honest with each other. I know it hurts. I know it's painful. I know the desire of your heart. But nagging is going to push away. It's going to divide. Just live your life. You know, we say that little passage that says, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Just live it. Live your faith. Okay? Challenging? Yep. Harder than if you're both on the same page? Absolutely. You might be carrying the water alone, spiritually, in your family. I get it. But God bless you. Number two, if you're thinking about getting married, and you're dating someone, listen to me as you would listen to a father or grandfather. I love you and I want the best for you. But if you are disobedient to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, you're going to pay the price. Do not be unequally yoked together with a non-believer. Now, that's not because a non-believer is a bad person and you're better than they are because you're a Christian. That's not the point. That's not what Paul is trying to say here. He's basically saying, what communion can you have with light and darkness spiritually? You're in the light, you understand spiritual things, and that person you're dating does not. Pray for them, encourage them, love them. But if you marry them, then you're going to be calling in down the road here saying, boy, we're not on the same page and I'm struggling. That's not fair to them. And I often say this, this isn't just about us, those of us who are followers of Christ. It's about that person that you're about to marry. Is it fair to put them through that as well? Some questions to think about. All right, got to run. I'm Dr. Randy. Thank you for being a part of the Intentional Living Ministry. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Thank you for making this possible every day. We thank you for it. I got to run. Thank you, Jennifer, Stephen, Gino, and the rest of the Intentional Living family from our Intentional Living Center. Have a great day.